Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Well, I apologize if I sound tired. Sound guy and Cindy kept me all night long. Week 45 of 50, main event 2021, level 16. So we had crossed the border into Friday, November 12th, when the money bubble in the 2021 main event burst. And it was cool to cash again. Back-to-back cashes for me, my third cash in the main event in my career. But what a soul-sucking last 3 hours that was. I'm not the type of person that sits at the table and doesn't play a hand for 3 hours, and that's exactly what happened. It was strategic to just let people run over you to make the cash. A 15K pay jump, you're going to do that, I guess. You're going to, especially if you're poor and you have a lot of people that have pieces of you and you want to earn for them, and you have a few charities you want to earn for, you're going to do this. It's correct strategy. It is also soul-sucking. I folded every hand for 3 hours. And it was just a brutal day, day 3 of the 2021 main event for me. I couldn't get any rest going in. I was not myself going in. I had that really groggy feeling, like, if you ever had your wisdom teeth taken out, well, when you start to come to, that's how I felt when I was sat down at the table and I was stacking my chips and the dealer started dealing. And of course, I did not play my best. I spewed a little too hard. I also ran very poorly. There were a couple big pots where the young kid from England just decided to be weird. Well, one, he didn't believe me and he called, and then I ended up getting counterfeited. And the other one, he just check-raised a dry paired flop, thinking that would work against me for some reason, when all I saw the entire tournament was this is the thing these tournament players do. If the preflop raiser continuation bets on a dry paired flop, they check-raise, repping zero like he was, and I called. I wasn't fucking folding, and then he binked. So good for him, and what a rough day all around. Just, card dead, getting binked on, bricking, and so on. And I didn't have it on day 3, all the way up until the last couple of levels. And then I did. But for the first 3 levels, which were very, very important, I didn't have it. And that is just the story. And to recap fully, I started the main event on fumes. I've been working so hard for 4 years, ever since I hit rock bottom. I've been working the hardest this year, and I got a new job to add to my grind, and I love it. It's my commentating gig at Hustler Casino Live, and I've just been completely worn out the last couple months, and you've heard it in my content, and some people have canceled because they said it sounds like I'm rambling sometimes. It's true. I don't blame them. I have been rambling here and there, and because I have deadlines, and I hit them. And it doesn't matter if I have nothing, you know, in my head. I have no energy or whatever it is. And on top of that, so just so busy that the week before the main event 2021, there were 2 weeks of it. This is the second week. The week before was called fucking dizzy, because that's how I've felt. Just San Diego, Las Vegas, LA, all over the place. You know, soccer dad, now play poker, now podcast, now build a community, now run a business. And I just have felt dizzy. And on top of that, I was down swinging my balls off heading into this in cash. And I wasn't able to play my best, and I wasn't able to play long sessions. I just didn't have time. And I was losing my short sessions. And to some degree, it was because I wasn't totally prepared to play. But mostly, it was just because I was running bad. It doesn't matter if you show up and you're on fumes, you get all the money and with 75%, does God know that you just, you're not prepared to play and not have your 75% hold? I don't know. But that was the story. Brutal downswing. Just went, I was on stake for a while and I battled and won and went off stake and doom switched. And yeah, and then now it's time to play this main event. And I know it's important for the podcast because a lot of people who listen are very enthusiastic about poker. And it's the one time they can hear it in my voice where I actually get fired up for playing poker because it really fits me well, this tournament does, the structure, the stack depths, and how grueling it is. And they can hear it in my voice. And the 2019 main event series was a lot of people's favorite part of this podcast. And I know it's important, and it'll get new listeners and such. So before day one, I woke up super early, couldn't sleep, and I had options. I could try and rest. I could try and meditate. I could put on an eye mask and, some spa music, whatever. Or I could write. And I decided to write for 3 or 4 hours. I just want to get caught up in the writing of the story of my life. Something I won't be doing soon. In about a month from now, on December 19th, the writing of the story of my life ends. I just am not going to do that in real time anymore. It's been extremely therapeutic, and I hope a lot of you got some solidarity from it or something, entertainment, understanding, enlightenment, something. But it has to end because I do need to come up next year, and I can't do it if I'm bogged down with telling every single day of my life. But I needed to do it before day one. I chose, instead of just relaxing with some spa music and an eye mask on and doing some focused breathing, I decided to write. I want to get all this shit out. I want to get this bad run out, get it out onto a Microsoft Word document, and then I can kind of start the main event fresh. I'll be very tired, but at least I will have downloaded all the shitty hand histories from my brain to a document. And that's what I chose to do. And I was very pieced out, which means a lot of people have pieces of me in the main event. It's something I offer supporters at a certain level on Patreon, and it's fucking free money for them. I need to do the math. I think it's like, if you're at a certain level, you can buy a piece of me in the main, and then the EV of that covers like pretty much your whole year's pledges, because I'm extremely plus EV in this one tournament. In normal tournaments, I wouldn't be, right? But this one where it's deep and grueling and all that, and people care so much about the chips, well, that's gonna favor me quite a bit. And peaced out. And I also decided, when I wasn't feeling good a couple weeks ago, to donate to 3 charities, 1% to each one. And also decided to give away 1% as a marketing tool, because this podcast is my future, hopefully, if we get enough points. And I don't know. So I don't have very much of myself, maybe 25%. I also bought a bunch of pieces of people, did some swapping. And that's how I started day one. And the first level was absolutely brutal. I lost over half my starting stack. I had someone blow up a pot with queens when I had kings. They were out of position. It came 8 high. They bet. I called. The turn was a queen. They check. I didn't like it. I checked back with kings. And the river was a 10. And they bet a very polarized bet, just under pot. And I decided to call because they were the erratic player at the table. And this is why you play on day one. People punted off and they had queens. They hit a 2-outer. And it's just really hard to do that out of position. And then that was the first level. And then I was able to make some hands in the second level. And I was bluffing a lot. I was 3xing the pot, stuff that other people weren't doing. But I was, because we had a lot of chips. They give you a lot of chips to start. And it just made sense. And people just didn't... They aren't comfortable putting in 3 times the pot. I am. I do it every time I play poker. Not always 3x, but 1.5x a lot, 2x sometimes. Well, with these chips, it was 3x because I was against some older, richer dudes, and that was what seemed to make sense to me. And then I coolered one guy that I had been bluffing all day, and I had chips. And then I ran bad at the end of day one. Again, someone called out of position with a smaller pair, and I had him on the flop, and they turned their 2-outer, and they were only repping that hand, and it's just that's not the story of the main event champ. Is keeps having bigger pairs in position, and they keep not flopping sets, but turning sets. And it was just a long day, but I was proud of holding it together after that first level, and I played pretty well. I think overall, I won a bunch of pots. No one else on my table was going to win. And that's how I measure my edge is, well, no one would have won this pot. No one would have won this pot. A lot of people might have gone broke with the kings against queens because I think the guy would have got the money in if I kept raising. And then that's something you do. You pot control early in this thing. And anyways, I felt okay about my day one. I played fine. I ran very up and down. I did cooler someone, which was nice. And I had chips. I had enough chips. It's nice to have a bunch. I didn't. I just had some, and that's okay. I flew back. I had 100 big blinds going into day two, which was going to be 5 days later. And I flew back to San Diego and spent a bunch of time with my kids as a soccer dad. And I always try and develop my kids and to being good human beings. And I worked my ass off. Like I recorded 6 drops of sessions the day before I flew back to Vegas. And then I flew back to Vegas, got in town, and met up with some people in the community who were also playing the main event for dinner. And I just needed to unwind a little bit and went to play it against Sam's, had a few beers, and went back to my apartment and got not much sleep again. But that's my life this year. It'll be less so next year, and hopefully each year after that we'll get more and more healthy and balanced and all that stuff that leads to longevity and success and whatever else. So that was it. Short on sleep to enter day two, and didn't matter. You know, sometimes you just find it. Sometimes you just find your zone, and I got in the zone on day two. In the very first level, I made a big call. I was opening the button super wide because I love playing in position. When people are scared of going all in, it's just the best. And I had queen 7 offsuit, and it came queen 9 deuce with 2 clubs, and I continuation bet, and the big blind, a really cool vlogger dude, called, and the turn was a deuce, and he checked, and I bet again because I know he has equity. Obviously, he has some sort of draw, or maybe he has a 9, but either way, he has some equity. He could have ace 9, he could have overcard to my queen, whatever. I bet, and he check raised me pretty big, and I didn't believe him, and I went with my read. And then on the river, everything got there, the 8 of clubs. So queen 9 deuce, 2 clubs, I bet he calls, turn offsuit deuce, I bet he check raises pretty big. I don't believe. I call, river's the 8 of clubs, completing a straight, a flush, everything, and he bombs. And it's going to be, I'm going to be super short if I call and lose. And if I call and win, which you just don't see people bluffing that much at this level, but I had been very aggressive, and sometimes that, you know, people get sick of it. Well, if I call and win, I'm going to have some chips and be able to do some things. And that's the most fun part of this tournament. When you have chips, obviously you get to just punish those who don't. And I made the call, and I was right. He had king jack. He had equity. He had a gutter ball and overcard, but he bricked, and that was nice, right? And then I felt good about that, and it kind of, not only does it give you chips, but it also just tells the table, well, I don't want to don't fuck with this guy. Like, he's just a fucking lunatic, and he's going to play whatever cards, and he's not going to fold. And I had some more hands like that really kind of set that tone. And then in the next level, Danielle Moon came to my table, someone I go way back with. We used to battle at Commerce, and always in a friendly way. And we got it in on a flip. It's I had king 9 of diamonds. She was short stack, and she opened, and someone called, and I called, and someone defended. And so it's 4 ways. I'm in position like I always am my whole career. When I'm playing well, and I king 90 diamonds, good hand, and it came 5, 6, 7 with 2 diamonds, and they checked to me, and I just went ahead and bet half pot. This is, if anyone hits this flop, it's me mostly, and because I, you know, I'm very wide pre-flop, and Danielle jams, and it's you know, when it gets back to her, and it's an easy snap call for me, and she has queens. So I need a king, I need an eight, or I need a diamond, and I hit an eight on the river, and now I have more chips. And then from then on, it was on day two was lag utopia. Like, my opponents never have anything they can three bet me with, at least not in position, which is huge. I don't care if they three bet out of position, and they're not really flopping anything, and neither am I a lot of times. But when neither person flops anything, the lag with the chips is going to win. And then I took a massive bluffing line on a paired board. I just kind of like was on this really scientific, mad scientist level. And I just thought it's going to take three barrels. And I bet an amount on the flop, the turn, and the river. And I thought I would get a fold on the river. And then the very next hand, same exact texture. And I flopped trips. And I bet the same amounts against the same opponent. And the table was like, whoa, this is weird. And it was weird. Everything went my way. And it was a, you know... And you can get away with anything when you have all the momentum, right? You get a bluff through, you don't show, and then the next hand the guy's gonna pay you off, and then you have it, and then you start opening 10 deuce, and you're betting on 4, 5, seven, and then the eight comes, and you're bombing. It's like, what are you repping much? No, but who cares? You already have proven to be a lunatic with your starting hand selection, and it's the main event. People aren't going to be heroes, right? And so they're just going to say, fuck it, you can have this one. And that was day two. And it was really, really fun. And I just found this adrenaline. I was playing pretty chill to start the day because I had chips, but not a ton. And then I got in that spot that's going to come up. And I'll either be short if I'm wrong with my queen seven offsuit, or I'll have some chips now. And I got some chips, and then it was key that I beat Danielle on that flip, but I would have been fine. It was her stack, not mine, right? I still had plenty, and that's why you try and accumulate chips. And then it was just a really good day, and hopefully you enjoyed the content for that, because that is me feeling, you know, playing with adrenaline, which is what most of you do probably when you play poker, because you still love the game and you haven't played 50,000 hours or whatever I've played. I've played so much that I just normally don't have that, but I did on this day. And then I had a choice after. So went and ate on this night and then went to play it against Sam's again and kind of, you know, just to relax. And then I had a choice for my day off. And I think I scheduled to play the day 1A just because it fit in with my kid's schedule. There was no strategic reason, but I think it's very good because you're going to get a day off. You're going to get several days off between 1 and 2, and then you're going to get a day off between 2 and 3, which is huge in my opinion, especially if you're 47 years old and you never sleep. And so I had a day off, and it played against Sam's after day 2 after dinner. I decided I was going to either play disc golf, one of my favorite things to do in Vegas with a couple great gamblers. Like, we play really big, you know, a hole of disc golf can be worth 5K, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just so fun. It's fair. No one's edge seeking. It's all gamble and fun and beers and needling. And it's just, I love it. And it was either do that and then have an early dinner and chill and get some rest and try and fucking make a deep run in this thing. And, or, well, if you do that, you're going to be so far behind on content because you just played a trillion hands on day two. And if you don't download those from your brain to Microsoft Word and then record them, maybe you won't have the same passion for them when you record later on. And if you make a deep run this thing, you're not going to hit your deadlines for your podcast. And this is just conversation I'm having with myself, sipping on a Corona at Play It Again Sam's. And so it's kind of get reset, get refreshed by disc golfing and whatever else, and then coming into day three ready to really battle and hopefully make a deep run this thing, or work. And I opted to work. And in hindsight, no, it's tough. It's tough. It's very, I don't believe in black and white. I don't think it's right choice, wrong choice. I think it's just the choice I made. and I worked all day on my day off, and it spun me out. I wrote for a very long time, and then I recorded in the game room at Panorama Towers, and then I was spun out, and we went to a dinner with the community. So a lot of people still in the main event, and the community, of course, is DGAF community. It's not about me, but it's the community of people who support my content. I built it for them, and they called it that. It's fine. I'm not DGAF. That's just a screen name I chose a trillion years ago for no reason. So, and nice dinner, and someone had comps, and that's cool, and then have a couple drinks, and then come back. And I just was too spun on this night, and I could not really sleep. And so I had more work to do. I've become a workaholic this year. And so I got up and decided, I'm just going to work. I'm going to record more, get all the way caught up, and then I'll nap. And a good nap will really set you off right for the day. And so I was doing that. I was recording really early in the morning. And then at 8 a.m., they started construction on the unit above. And it was so loud. Like, you should probably be having those earplugs in, like they do on construction sites. And it just was, it was extremely loud. And you heard it in when I was recording, because I was still finishing up. And you also heard how tired I was. I was trying to not have coffee yet, because I wanted to nap and then get on my caffeine going and then play a good day three. Well, I was not able to nap after that. It was so loud. It had me screaming at the fucking ceiling, like a crazy person. And if, you know, a lot of stress and little sleep will make us act like crazy people. I've had other examples in my life where I acted mentally ill, and just when the stress was too great, as I was approaching rock bottom, I used to carve a ravine like in my forehead at the table, just from running bad. And I don't do that anymore. I don't scratch myself anymore. And my good friend, Dr. David Namark, said that is mentally ill behavior, but it's brought on from stress. It's not something that'll be there if you can make some changes in your life. And I did. And I don't do that at all anymore. I tilt, but I don't do that. And well, on this morning before day three, I'm fucking screaming at the ceiling, fuck you, 8 o'clock in the morning, whatever else, you know. And it's probably just some construction guys who probably can't hear me because it's so loud. And even if they did, they wouldn't give a shit. And it's first world problems. Of course, you're in a nice high rise and it's loud as shit. But it really, really mattered. Again, I took my coffee in the shower. I just felt like that. Like, you know, when is this going to kick in where I'm going to feel okay, where I can think? And even when I got to the Rio, I couldn't. I felt like, when I was, whatever, 16 years old and I came to after having my wisdom teeth taken out, I felt like that, where you just feel like, whoa, like what's going on? Where am I? I didn't even know where my pink slip was. And that's the opposite of how it would have gone down if I played disc golf the day before and had an early dinner and got some sleep early. Yeah, that noise would have been annoying, but I could have handled it better. And anyways, that's the fucking story. And I always just tell the story, whether it's what people want to hear or not. And then, yeah, day three was, you know, it started off horribly. I was spewing. It was the exact opposite of the end of day two. It was lag hell. I was playing good hands, mostly in position on the button. I was opening whatever, but I was opening good hands in other places, and I kept running into it. People would flat with ace queen, it would come queen high, and you just don't, you know what? And I would open the small blind, the big blind would have ace king. I opened the button, the small blind had pocket kings, and just ran into it all day long. And also a couple times, as mentioned, the young English kid who reminded me of a young Tom Middleton, and he seemed like a cool kid, got lucky against me. And it wasn't playing well. Like, it's just how it goes. There's just a shit ton of variance. And I was distraught after the first level of day three, that would be level 11. And I saw some friends and someone I had a piece of, and I didn't even want to talk to them. I just wanted to walk around. I was on tilt. I, you know, just like a normal person under duress would be in this spot. And then I saw Tyler Cornell, someone I go way back with, had some really funny memories with, and always have battled with, but have always got along with. And he just has done it right his whole career. I talk about I talked about last. So I'm up in LA right now, working all week at Hustler Casino Live. And I talked about one of the players won a nice pot and didn't put the guy in for his last $325. And I said, I like that. This is, we're human beings. This is a social game. The guy having the best night doesn't need to go for the kill against the guy having the bad night. That was Johnny against Mayhem last night, because this isn't cutthroat. And I remember one time when, as I was approaching rock bottom in some big game, I was just ranting about how everyone has a set every hand at Ocean's 11. And I was in a pot with Tyler Cornell, and I had, I think, an overpair or maybe top pair, and he bet, and he just said, okay, I have a set. And I knew he was telling the truth, and he just showed a little mercy. And the guy has all the money probably in the world. He just thought in that moment, no, this is the right human thing to do. And I folded, and he showed. He had a set of sevens. And I had either top pair or overpair. And it was just a very human thing, and whatever. It was good to see. This was the perfect guy to see. He had chips. He's an amazing poker player, amazing tournament poker player. Plays the one drop. He won a 25K event this year. And I felt a little bit better going into level 12. And I just couldn't get anything going. And I was running bad. And that Queen Jack of Diamonds hand is pretty gross. It's your four ways with Queen Jack of Diamonds. It comes Jack 9X, the first two check. It's Jack 9X with two diamonds, top pair and a flush draw. And someone on your right bombs it with two tens. And they don't have a diamond in their hand. And what does that mean? It means they have one out. And the other two, you call the other two fold, and the one out comes. And not only do you have top pair and flush draw, but now you have open ended two, and he bets again. And you know you're not good, but you have to call, and you know you don't have fold equity, so you just call. And the river's a break. He bets again, you fold, and he's a nice guy, and he shows you that he hit the one outer. And then my table broke. Thank God, it was an awful table that I started day three on, and I went to a better table and had some good conversation with Ben Hammett. I like him. I go way back with him. I battled him heads up at the Encore back when no one could touch me in heads up. Open challenge to anyone in any casino, because I didn't have this. I wasn't spooked by the deck. I wasn't so stressed and financially and otherwise. And people just almost had no chance against me heads up until I started spiraling hard. Yeah, but it was a nicer table, and I liked the cool kid on my right who was very good, a lag, whatever, and he had all the chips running hot, and just couldn't really get anything going for a long time, and then had a couple spots where if I win, they're just, you know, turning points in the tournament. I turned the second nut flush against two pair. That is, he has four outs. That's 90% to win this really big pot. And he binks a four outer on the river. You can't do anything about that. And yeah, and then I just was whittled down. Just couldn't get anything going at all. And was whittled down on dinner break. And I really was defeated. I had, 20 some big blinds and went to dinner break. And then something that just happens for us is you just kind of cycle out of your bad state. I got perspective back. I thought about all the people supporting me, sending, you know, on Slack, which is one of the platforms of the community. There's a Rail Me channel, and everyone who's in a tournament, or you can do it when you're in a cash game, just gives updates, and the whole community, people all across the world, are just sending love and support, and let's fucking go, you're fine, kill them, all this shit, right? And it just feels great, and they were doing it for other people in the community as well, who are posting more updates. But just, you realize how much love there is during this time of year, during the main event, because it's the thing, I don't know, it's the optimism of poker, in my opinion. And I just kind of flipped the switch. Like, okay, I can't get anything going on this day. And I decided, you know, to play my game, which is to steal pots relentlessly, you have to have a reasonable image. I didn't. And I played the main event the time before, and I wore a hat because I thought it made me look like a grinder, and it did, and I just stole, and no one defended. Well, I did that in this one too, and the cat was out of the bag, that I'm not a grinder, and that I'm going to try and bluff relentlessly, and the one time I four bet the button, the kid from England said, I feel like he's doing that 40% of the time. So it's, and I just decided, well, I need to be able to accumulate some chips when we get back from dinner, because I want to make the money. Now, even, you know, I don't have enough blinds to just blind out anymore. If I just sat out the day, close, I probably could have, but no, I lost a bunch in the level 11, the first level of the day, when I felt like I'd just gotten out of surgery or whatever. And yeah, I just, I flipped a switch. I became positive. I didn't think I was going to run hot, but I didn't necessarily think I was going to run bad, and that's fine. And thinking you're going to do either is a little foolish, probably. But I just changed my image. And usually you have to win pots to change your image. Nah, I got rid of my hat. I put it on the shelf. And, you know, I'll wear it again. But my lucky sessions hat, I put on the shelf. I put on my session Save the Princess shirt. That's what this season's all about. Get to those 2022 points and everything else. That's the goal. The goal was never to win the main event. It was to get to these points and build your different streams of income and set yourself up for long-term success. And so I put that shirt on, and it's just a beautiful design from our designer Mel at Poker Eggs. And I took a shower before that, and I put on my Saint Laurent aviators. Just go back in there, like, who cares if you've had a rough day? And start drinking sugar-free Red Bull like a fucking weirdo who gives a shit, and go in there. And all these players at the table, all things being equal, they're fucked, right? Because you've played way more than them. You thought about this game way more than them. You've worked on your game way more than them in the past, mainly. But it doesn't matter. You can, when you're locked, you're fucking really, really good at this game. And I went back with that attitude, and I got, you know, Derek GMZ, Derek Gomez, who's in the community and in the Rail Me channel and all that, was nice enough to send me a bunch of guidelines. And I looked at them, and it just, you know, went into the computer, you know, your brain, and but I still played my game, which is, you just read it, like Marshawn Lynch, and you just find a good spot, you take it, and it doesn't, it's not on any training sites to be defending 3x with 6-3 suited when you only have 20-some big blinds, and then to be bombing on queen 9-5, but it, if you just read it, like Marshawn Lynch, which is how I play poker, and it's done very well. It's worked for me very well over the years. It's why my kids have had such an amazing childhood. Well, then, you know, you do that, and it felt good to do that. And then I had a couple big spots where I, one in particular, where I had the nut flush draw in a 3-bet pot in position against, I had ace 10 of spades against queens, and it came king XX 2 spades. So I can have a spade or an ace. And the turn was a king, and I thought it was a good bluff card, even though it was against a rich guy. And I, but we're approaching the money bubble, and I bet 50K, and the pot is ballooning, and he called, and I realized, okay, maybe this guy wasn't the guy to do it, but I could still hit one of my 12 outs, and if I hit the flush, which is going to be lower than his pocket pair, which he obviously had queens or jacks, he ended up having queens, I'm going to stuff it and get the rest, and then I'm going to have chips, and this guy on my right opening every hand, he's fucked. I'm going to flat him until I get more chips in him, and then I'm going to start 3-betting him. And I can start 3-betting even when I have less, as long as I have enough big blinds to test him. And I bricked, and that's okay. I stole so many pots when I came back with my Saint Laurent aviator. I look like a cop. You don't fuck with cops. People like to talk bad about cops. You don't fuck with them. And I don't know. I just, after that, you know, I did make a couple hands and just pot controlled the shit out of them against weak hands and got tiny bit of value. And then I rivered a set against a front door flush. And but it had been the flop and turn had been checked, and I raised the small river bet for value, and I thought the guy was betting with enough hands that would both I could beat and would pay me off. I think it was fine, and he rivered a flush and set against flush, and okay, and that was it. From then on, I was just card dead and had to fold for 3 hours and just watch my stack go. And you feel like you worked hard for your stack day one, 3xing the pot. When everyone else is just like happy to be at the main event, you're not. You're fucking 3xing fucking with air. And day two, after that good call against the vlogger who had heart, and then binking against Danielle, just going into full psycho lag mode and lag utopia, it feels like you're working hard to get your chips. You're obviously running great. And then the next day, to have all that happen, it was very disheartening, even though made the cash, when the bubble burst and we got our bags, to me, it felt like the tournament was over. And I wasn't being negative at all. It's what it felt like inside. It felt like, man, you do things in a tournament, you do things that make sense. Like, okay, you just are short and the money bubble's going to hit. You don't play any hands. You fold for 3 hours straight, including like the hand for hand bullshit, which takes forever. But it's so soul sucking if you're someone who's put as much time into poker as I have on a different level. It's like, what am I doing with my life right now? And so it's both. It's in the short term, it makes a lot of sense. In the long term, it hurts a little bit. I felt like it was over when I put my chips in the bag. I felt like I had min cashed. Okay, I'm proud of myself. I played on short sleep throughout. I had some really good moments. I had some bad moments, but I didn't give up. And I really fucking flipped the switch at dinner break on day three. And I had I min cashed. And that's, we went to Ping Ping Pong, a few people that were left in the, and that's a really good Chinese place at Gold Coast. And went there, and I just was like, you know, that's cool. I had a good run, got some good content. I earned for people who support me. A lot of them are up money on me from me earning for them or whatever. And I feel good about that. It's not like, yeah, you're supporting my content and you're getting a lot of perks. And one of the perks is you get to buy a piece of me in the main event at 1.3. Fuck, I am definitely 2.0 or higher in that shit. No question. Like, wait till next time I play and hopefully my life is a little more under control. I'm still going to sell at 1.3 to people who support a certain level, but it's just a joke how much EV a grizzled fucking vet, no limit hold'em specialist, deep stack specialist has in that thing. And I don't know. So people were like at dinner, like, well, you're still in the tournament. And I was like, I had to remind myself I was still in the tournament. It was wild. I just didn't. And I wasn't being like a baby. I just thought it was over. It felt like it was over. I just let my stack bleed off from whatever, 200 and some K down to like 100 to in the bag, whatever. And yeah, I remember Marley texted me as soon as the money hit and said, did you make it? How you doing? And I said, yeah, I have, you know, whatever. I'm coming back with 14 big blinds or something. And she said, cool, good job. And she had a bunch. And I said, that's good. You can make a run in this thing. And she said, so can you. I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, I had 9 big blinds in the ladies event and I made the final table. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. I just, in my mind, it doesn't seem possible for me. And before you think that affects the cards, it doesn't affect the cards. And it's not being negative. It's being human. The best indicator of the future is the past. And the past for me, the last 5 years or so, has not been to run hot in the good spots. It's been the opposite. And so, you know, sure, I could go the next day, get it in as a flip, probably. Maybe play a little tiny poker before that. And if I win, sure, anything can happen. And then I can have some chips and I can get back to my ways of stealing. I'm gonna wear my Saint Laurent aviators the rest of the way. It kind of gives me fold equity. But I just wasn't thinking that. People had to remind me of Ping Pong Pong. I was already planning the next day. I was excited to go see my kids. I had a flight the next day on Friday. And, you know, when day four, it was that night. And I was excited to see my kids. And I felt good about the min cashing. And I hadn't min cashed. It just felt like that. And anyways, we ate. And this was a super late night. We played 12 hours on day three. And I went to sleep at 3:30 a.m. And I woke up at 8 a.m. on Friday, November 12th. And just, you know, you have so much adrenaline and you're so spun out. I just started working. I want to download all the shit from the day before to start a new day. And they're drilling. And also, in addition to the construction, it sounds like they're drilling in your skull. And in addition to that, someone pulled the alarm at Panorama Tower. So evacuation alarms and a loudspeaker announcement every few seconds. And holy shit, I felt like I was in the movie Fight Club. Just so delirious. What's going on? Did some correspondence. And I said, fuck. Oh, yeah, I guess I should find out who's at my table today. It felt like it was over. It felt like I already min cashed. And so I did that. And I don't know. It is all random, right? I could win I could go there with 14 big blinds. I'm going to play it well. I'm good at this one thing, this one game in poker. I suck at so many of them. I'm good at No-Limit Hold'em, and I'm good at reading people when the stakes matter, especially. And it's possible, right? I'll probably get the money in as a flip and maybe play some poker. But it is all random, right? It just doesn't feel like it. The last 5 years, it's been the opposite. I've just ran bad in these spots. And probably the 5 years before that, I ran good. Overall, it's close whether I've run good or bad in my entire poker career. Overall, it's close. Last 5 years is not close. It's bottom, 25 percentile, no question. And anyways, I just am, drinking coffee and working on my notes, and then it's 11 a.m. Oh, shit, cards are in the air in 49 minutes. I don't have any apprehension on this day, but I do want to be there on time. You don't want to blind out of the tournament, especially when you're playing for others. So take a quick shower, jump in an Uber, and get to the Rio. And we're in level 16. It already started the night before. That's how we hit the money. And when I filled out, I put notes in my phone. The one seat didn't have anyone in it on the site I looked at, Poker News or whatever it was. But it seemed like a recreational player that was sitting there. Seat two was another vlogger. The vloggers are the future of poker. I really do believe that. They've kind of resurrected poker. Their content is great. I'm friends with a lot of vloggers. I'm friends with Brad Owen, Marley. I talk to Mariano a lot. And there was another guy. And I said there was a vlogger. It was Rude Poker at my table on day two. And this guy's name is Gale. I believe his name was Gale. In the two seat, he was very cool, very social. I liked talking to him across the table. He had played at Hustler when I was commentating. And then seat three, it said he had all these online tourney results from San Diego. And I was thinking, oh, that's pretty legal. And then when I see him, I know him. It's someone I've played with at the Bellagio. I've played high stakes. I've challenged the heads up. And he's a nice kid and whatever. And seat four was some Italian tourney guy. Great. He's probably going to tank a lot. Seat five is some guy who plays circuit events. Seat six, East Coast Poker Pro. Seat seven, your protagonist, Dragon Man, wearing aviators. And if these people look me up, it's going to be confusing. It's going to be a different person in the picture. I love that. And it's going to be all these events that person plays. Someone with the same exact name as me. Fucking love it. It's someone who cares about anonymity as much as I do. That's beautiful. I binked the shit out of that. And then seat eight is this Asian kid who tried to bluff Kui Win. I just saw in some update. I did a real quick table scan before I went. Just a young Asian kid. And I love this kid right away. It's just so funny and like innocent. And like he's wearing a hoodie. And if you lift up, there's a pocket on the left chest. And you lift it up, it had two aces. And he's like, do you like my hoodie? And I said, I love your hoodie. And it was just a really cool kid. And then the ninth seat was a young Irish kid who had the same last name as me. And he's like, you have the same last name? Yeah. And I was like, yeah. And I really like this table, and I got a little nub stack. And so there's no real stress when you have a nub stack. Let's start day four. So I have ace six offsuit in the small blind. And if it folds to me, I'm all in. And I didn't download snap shove, whatever the fuck it's called. No, I've decided that I will do what it takes to win money and earn money, but I'm not downloading any shove charts. And I'm just, because I just read it like Marshawn Lynch. Anyways, if it folds to me, I'm all in with ace six offsuit for 14 big blinds in the small blind. Don't know if that's right or wrong, but I am. And it doesn't fold to me. Someone opens and I fold. And then the kid, the Asian kid, three bets from the big blind. And so that probably would have been it. If it folded to me, I would have jammed. He would have called and seems like he would have me crushed. And I don't know, the other guy folded. So now I lost, what, a half a big blind. I have maybe 13 and a half or whatever it is. And I get ace-jack offsuit in maybe the low jack. And it folds to me, and I just go all in. I think that's correct with about 13 big blinds. And everyone tanks and wants to call and folds. Okay, so I got 121K now. That's 15 big blinds, and maybe I can open a hand, or maybe I could flat a hand. I really prefer to not be at risk. I have not been at risk in this tournament, And I wasn't at risk in the previous one I played, the 2019 main event, until day five. It's the first time I was at risk the whole entire tournament. I got in with 75% equity and lost. You motherfuckers. Okay? So even if you're not spooked by variance, and I try not to be, you still don't want to be at risk because then you're at risk. Whereas you can kind of small ball your way to a deep run, as the blueprint is the series I recorded for that in 2019. This one's different. I had chips on day two and I lagged it up. But yeah, so maybe I can do some shit. Well, I don't get dealt anything. And then it's my big blind. And big blind is crucial because someone's going to open for about a min raise or a little bit more. And if you have something good, you can just defend here if you're good at post-flop. And I looked down, I had queen four offsuit, and the button opened, the small blind, three bet, and I folded. Okay. And now I'm the small blind, and it folds to me. I have 9-7 offsuit. I'm not jamming here. I am going to complete. It's just I know the kid on my left is very aggressive, but if he has total trash, I don't know if he's going all in. It's just worth putting in the extra half blind, and he shoves. And I say, okay, man, good for you, and fold. So it's just worth the gamble of maybe he doesn't raise here and maybe I flop something, or maybe if he doesn't raise, he has a horrible hand. If it comes ace high, I can win or whatever. I don't know. And now the guy in the one seat, the recreational player, opens under the gun, and I still have 12 big blinds and I have pocket nines on the button. And he opens first to act, and he has a good hand. We're flipping. And it seems like we're flipping. And I just call. I don't need to flip yet. And I still have 12 big blinds. If I call and get a bad flop, I have 10, and then I need to flip, in my opinion. That's my strategy for this thing. And so he opens in the gun, and it seems like he has two big cards. I'm calling with nines. And the kid with the same last name as me in the big blind also calls. Beautiful. Now we got some chips in there. We get a little pot going. Let's get a good flop for nines. It comes Jack 10X. The kid with my same last name, young Irish kid, I liked a lot, checks. Preflop, razor checks. I'm not falling for that shit. Jack 10X, you just snap check. No one snap checks there unless they're calling. I check with my nines. The turn's an ace. The kid checks. Preflop razor checks to me again. I'm not falling for this shit. Check. The river's a king, and now the kid leads out. And when he leads out, first of all, I know he has the same last name as me. So maybe same blood somewhere. I'm calling this fucking kid. I'm calling with nines on Jack 10, Ace King. I'm not fucking kidding you. He didn't lead out huge at all. He's just trying to steal the pot, it seems like to me. And I'm calling him with nines. Well, now the under the gun guy calls, and I have to fold. And the kid had eights, so that would have been sick. I would have made the call with nines, and I would have won against a kid with the same last name as mine, and which is, you're going to bluff if you have my last name. And the guy who opened under the gun had ace jack. So we were flipping. He flopped top. He was never folding at any point. He turned top two, and I was able to not die. And so I think a lot of people would have jammed the nines there. I don't know. I didn't. And now I have 10 big blinds left. And I should be jamming soon, right? And I get 8-7 of diamonds in the hijack. And I fold. I don't know. I don't know if that's a shove or not. I prefer to have bigger cards. And I just folded. And I wrote, maybe I should have downloaded that app. And the big blind had ace-10 that hand. And I would have lost to ace high. However, it ran out. Okay. And now... A guy on my right, it's the next hand, the guy on my right looks down and opens quick. What does this mean? It means he doesn't have a pair. When someone looks down and opens quickly, they don't have a pair. A lot of times it's ace king or ace queen. If it's a tournament guy in late position or middle position, he could have many things. I have two black sixes. I have exactly 10 big blinds left, 80,000 in chips. And I think now's the time. It's get it in. He might fold whatever he opened because it doesn't seem that strong. And if not, we're flipping, right? Or maybe he has ace X suited or something and we're not flipping. Or maybe he has a smaller pair. But probably we're flipping if he calls, and he might fold. And it's 10 big blinds. He opened for two. I think he could fold if it, like the worst stuff he opened. And the kid on my left, the Asian kid with the pocket aces under his in his pocket, in his hoodie left chest pocket, says, "I believe you, but I'm suited. Call." Pretty funny speech. And it folds around to the opener and he folds. So maybe he just would have folded. And now it's time to table our hands. And I have pocket two black sixes and he has ace. Is there really construction going on at the double tree right now? Amazing. So yeah, you hear that? Beautiful. Follows me. Being tested this year. Two black sixes and he has ace eight of clubs. Okay, so I'm a slight favorite, but we're flipping, and there's extra cheese in the middle because I didn't get it in against either of the blinds. So we have two big blinds were put in by the big blind. A half a big blind was put in by the small blind, and some guy opened for two big blinds. So we got 4.5 extra, and we have almost 200K in there, and that means almost 25 big blinds. And if I win this fucking flip, which I'm a slight favorite in, I'm going to have 25 big blinds and I can maneuver like I did on night 3 after dinner break. I can flat and I can steal and I can do that for a while until I have to shove like I did here. I saved with the nines against ace jack and I got in with the flip. The flop comes queen, queen, nine, and there's not a club in sight. Okay, so queen, queen, nine, I'm good here. I have pocket sixes against ace, eight of clubs, queen, queen, nine, two hearts maybe, and a spade. So I almost say nine because that'll fuck me. And I'm not rooting for a nine. I just have done this many times in my career where the guy had one or two outs and I called it and it hit. And each time the table looked at me like, why'd you do that? It's your fault. And that's amazing to me. But I almost said nine and said, no, don't say that because, you know, we're a little more mature now and we're trying to be positive. And it wasn't a nine. It was a king. So we have queen, queen, nine, king. I got my two sixes, two black sixes in front of me. He's got ace, eight of clubs next to him. There's about 200K, about 25 big blinds in the middle. And I'm 73% to get it at this point. And shit, maybe it all is random. Maybe I can win a flip when it counts. It doesn't. Experience in the last 5 years tells me I can't. But maybe I can. And here we go. It's not even a flip anymore. At this point, I'm 73%. And man, what if I get these 25 bigs? And then what if I am able to steal a few pots? And then what if I start binking? The river is an eight. And good game, Dragon Man. So the river's an eight. And I stand up. And you gotta wait for someone to come over and give you a bust out card. And as I'm standing up, the guy on my right says, well, I would have called you if he didn't, and I would have beat you too, if that makes you feel better. And I said, that makes me feel amazing. Thank you. I said, would anyone at this table have lost to my sixes? And everyone around the table was like, no, I would have had you beat. I would have beat you. And so it was a very fun table. I was only there for an hour on this day. I liked pretty much everyone in it that I talked to. It was going to be a social fun day. It was going to be a fun day of poker for a grizzled vet. But, you know, I lost the flip and, you know, pretty brutal fashion to do it on the river. And that's back-to-back main events that I've made the cash and beyond without being all in at risk once. And the first time I got all in at risk, I was the favorite and lost. And people say, oh, you got to win a million flips to win a tournament. No, you just got to win like one. You got to win at least one. And I did win one against Danielle on day two, but that one wasn't crucial. That was her stack, not mine. It's fine. You know, whatever. And someone gives me a card and says, follow me. And I go over to the desk. And this lady says, driver's license and player's card. And I said, well, here's my driver's license, but I don't have a player's card. And she says, you will need a player's card to get paid. I said, can't they just look it up? She says, you will need a player's card to get paid. I love when people do this. I love it so much. I especially love it after I bust the main event. And I'm thinking, you miserable fuck, this is not your fault that you are the way you are. I don't say that. I just nod my head. Yeah, okay. I'm going to gamble that I don't need a fucking player's card, lady. And go take a piss and wait in a long line. I guess it's the winner's line. It feels like the loser's line. And I'm just thinking, I want to be in the booth commentating, and I want to be behind the mic for sessions more than I want to be at the table moving forward. These swings, the emotions of binking, getting binked on, getting coolered, coolering, whiffing them with all, it's just, I've just had too much of it in my life, and it's not healthy. I just would rather be calling the action or talking about poker than I would be playing poker. But I know that next year I'm going to rally. I'm going to play and play high. And next main event, I won't be so worn down when I go into it. And I feel like next main event, I'm going to go deep and like really deep. I don't know. I know how to play this thing extremely well. You just take what's given to you and you put your foot down from the moment the first hand is dealt, if you can. It's the opposite of what people say. Can't win the tournament on day one. No, but you can give yourself a good chance to go to fucking day eight if you put your foot down when everyone else is thinking you can't win the tournament on day one. And I just know how to play it when you're short, what you have to do, what your table. I didn't make the adjustment on day three at the beginning. My table was not the table to try and run over. It wasn't even the table to open anything but good hands. And I just, one misconception I had was that if you're the chip leader at the table, you need to be applying constant pressure. It's not true. It's just not true. Maybe if there's a bubble or something, but when you're 10 hours or 12 hours away from the bubble, it's not true. But yeah, waited in the line for a long time, checked my phone, let everyone know that I busted. But I earned for every person that had a piece of me. And if it wasn't for support, I don't know what I would charge like on the open market. Like, not only are pros, do they have a lot of EV, this is grueling. This is fucking grueling work. It sounds like a joke, but it is. Those are uncomfortable chairs, long days. You're racing around, the stress of constantly, you know, I can't make one mistake here or I'll bust. I don't know. Well, I got to the front and I did not need my player's card. They could look me up and they gave me my cash, and I almost went back to the desk in the Amazon room to tell that fucking lady, well, I got my cash, I didn't have a player's card, bitch. No, I wouldn't do that. I understand her. She's, you know, who she is and whatever. And that's not nice to say, bitch, but, you know, whatever. I almost wanted to say, hey, I got my cash, I didn't have a player's card, thanks for being so helpful, but I didn't. And, you know, I'm walking through the halls thinking, yeah, this year, I was right to think this was over. And the reason I busted is not because I wasn't, you know, a lot of people go in there on day four with 14 bigs, like, I'm going to run this up. This is my time. I ate healthy. I fucking, whatever I did, whatever, bullshit. I don't think that way. But that's not the reason my six is lost to the ace eight. It's just variance. It's all random. And this year is about setting the stage for next year. And so it makes sense that this main event would just be good content and not a deep run. And who knows? It was soul-sucking, this tournament was, to have so many chips entering day three and then to have 14 bigs entering day four. And just to have to bleed it off. It's just ICM shit that you just have to fold every hand for 3 hours on the money bubble because it's 15K. It's 0 to 15K. That's significant. If I was well off and I wasn't playing for others, I wouldn't have done it. No, I would have valued my soul more than cashing in this thing. But it's just bittersweet. Proud of the hard work and the resilience, resiliency, whatever it is. Resilience, resiliency. I never know which one it is. But it was just weird. I wasn't being negative at the end of night three. I was done. I was just proud of my hard work, excited to go see my kids. And I didn't even realize I had more tournament to play. And it turns out I didn't. I got there on day four and I played well. I played pretty surgical. Small blind, I'm going to jam if it gets to me and I have 8-6 offsuit with 14 big blinds. And it didn't, right? And then what happened? Then I folded and I had queen four offsuit and I just folded. And then small blind, I put in the extra small blind hoping the big blind would have horrible hand. It's worth the gamble. He didn't. He went all in, folded, flatted with nines against under the gun open. If it was against a late open, that's different. Under the gun open, no, that's a flip. and didn't want to flip if I didn't have to and would have lost. Okay, so save it for another flip, get in the other flip, and it lose on the river, whatever. You know, what are you going to do? Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go outside, and we're going to read the STP scores, and we'll take it from there. So come outside with me, and then I'm going to get an Uber, and then I'm going to go pack up, and I'm going to get on an airplane and go see my kids in San Diego. So, all right, and thank you all for riding along on this journey and being so supportive and non-judgmental. That's the best shit in life. Okay, so here we are outside. There's some other bust outs walking around. Sucks, but what are you going to do? At least you made the money. Okay, on my phone, the first line, I go to NevadaGamingCommission.com, and the first line under SDP says, hours, 462 of 450. So we've gone through 45 of 50 weeks, got to play 10 hours a week. That's what I set out to do. So the target right now is 450 hours, and we're at 462. And that makes sense, because we had 449 after week 44, and I played 13 more hours this week, 12 in the first session of this week, which was day three of the main event, which was a fucking doozy, and 1 hour in the session you just heard about, which was day four. And it was actually a cool table, and I felt fine, and it was just, you know, my tournament was over. And yes, when I lost that flip, at least. And again, the first time, all tournament, all in at risk. So it's kind of a myth. You got to win flips. I never won a fucking flip in this thing, and I go deep every fucking time. So I did win one against Danielle, but that was, again, not for my life. And in some weeks, I just want to say that some weeks of sessions, like, you know, I decided to make the entire World Series of Poker main event public for a while. Just, I don't know, maybe bring in some new listeners, get some new patrons. And then also when I'm at the Hustler, where I'm at now, this is the following week. So I had a quick turnaround, and the patrons will hear about it. And I guess you will hear about it too, because it'll be public. So on Friday, flew back to San Diego, was a dad for 2 days, and then drove up to LA on Sunday, and I've been working all week commentating and recording pods, and I'm going to play poker tonight after commentating. This is my life right now. But so when I'm up here, all the drops will be public, and special occasions sometimes, like the main event, I made public. But usually there's a lot of stuff that's private. And if you want the private stuff, and I get a lot more intimate when I know it's going just to people supporting my content. I feel like people who are patrons aren't judgmental. They understand me. And I'm happy to really get intimate on those drops. And also, if you want the old seasons of sessions, if you want that 2019 main event run, which was, it was a blueprint on how to play that thing when you don't get any cards. In a bunch of interviews, Garrett Allestein, Matt Berkey, Matt Moore, and you want access to my other podcast, the one I started before sessions, a mental health podcast, which is dark and spewy, but also has some really good stuff in it, because I did it with my psychiatrist friend, Dr. David Namark. Well, that's all you have to do is go to patreon.com, sign up, patreon.com/DGAF poker player, sign up for $4.22 a month or more, and you get an RSS feed right away. Your own RSS feed has every drop of sessions, every drop of Solicit Advice podcast on the feed. It's like approaching 800 drops total for $4.22 a month. And all those cool interviews. And you also get to be a member of DGAF community, something that's growing, something that has had beautiful moments and had definitely had a honeymoon phase and then kind of regressed a little bit, but it's still beautiful overall. And you got all these people going to dinner, and you got people sweating people online. As I'm recording this on the 17th of November, Derek Gomez is making a run in some tournament, and everyone's just sending him love at every update, and it's fucking beautiful. You get membership to the community as well. $4.22 a month. I know it's a lot of money, but hey, sometimes you gotta pony up. Okay. The second line under STP says poker eggs, 943 of 828. So a slow week. Let's hear who scored points for us in week 45 and who the MVP was, if there was one, and who got employee of the week, if there was one of those as well. Okay. So I'm looking at my phone here. It looks like John in Houston, Texas, got us a point. Thank you very much, John. Justin in Deal, Maryland, got us a point. Thank you, Justin. Jason in Oregon, Wisconsin. Which one is it, Jason? Oregon or Wisconsin? Just kidding. Jason in Oregon, Wisconsin got us a point. Thank you very much, Jason. Lisa in St. Petersburg, Florida got us 2 points. Thank you very much, Lisa. And we do have an MVP this week, so we're all huddled around out here. There's a bunch of people smoking ciggies, marijuana, and people are, you know, walking out after busting the main event, the min cash, like your protagonist did. But do you guys mind chanting MVP before I reveal? Thank you. Your week 45 most valuable purchaser at Poker Rags from Las Vegas, Nevada, patron and dealer at Caesar's Palace, Scott Weigel. Thank you, Scott. Scott put up 3 points this week, and it was good enough to be MVP, and Scott's a longtime supporter. Really cool dude, gets it in all ways, and congrats on the prestigious award, Scott, and thank you. And total points for the week, 8. Not a lot, but we appreciate everyone who ordered, and under Employee of the Week, it says, nah. Okay, but it does say honorable mention, Mike Trout, for Twitter presence. So Mike Trout's the marketing guy, and he has been, you know, present on Twitter, and we're not going to have an Employee of the Week if we only get 8 points, but they wanted to give him an honorable mention. And yeah, thanks again to those who put points on this line in week 45. If you listening would also like to put points on this line, thus literally becoming part of the story you're listening to called Sessions, because you're helping to keep it going while sprucing up your wardrobe with the most comfortable and cool looking clothes on the planet. That's a fact. Well, just head over to pokerags.us and just start fucking clicking. Add to cart, add to cart, add to cart, add to cart. View cart, cash out, let's go. Okay. The third score under STP on my phone here outside the Rio, and I'm sorry about, you know, if you like marijuana, if you like secondhand smoke, then you're happy. No, I can take it or leave it. But anyways, the third score says, results 72 of 92. So I get 3 points for every win, and I lose 3 points for every loss. And we were ahead of pace for a long time, and then I got doom switched and also ran out of steam playing cash and lost a bunch of sessions. And that's what got us. And in this week, day 3 was a session. We got a win there. We made it through. And day 4, we busted, so we got an L. So we had one win and one L. We have 72 points, same as last week. And we're 57 wins and 33 losses on the year. It probably sounds okay. It's not for me. I made this my career a long time ago. You need to play 10,000 hours to become an expert. I've done that like fucking 5 times or whatever. But it's just what it is. Okay. The fourth score under STP says Patrons 388 of 450. So we got a little boost here. And that makes me feel good after this bust out for sure. Let's see exactly what happened. So first thing that happened is someone who was a straddler, that means they were at 844 a month, they canceled. 844 gets you all the content and the forum, and it gets you Slack. And Slack is where you can rail people. You can interact with people. You can set up meetups all the time. It's daily meetups. Let's go to dinner. Let's go to golf. Let's go whatever. It's just social media with no fucking nits or trolls or whatever you want to call those toxic motherfuckers. Well, someone deleted and they said some other reason in their exit survey. And I know this always happens where I voice my opinion on Donald Trump, number 45, and it has nothing to do with politics. I don't know anything about politics. It has to do with him as a person. And I think he's an it. I think he cares about himself only, and it has nothing to do with politics. It's just an easy read for me. I'm a soul reader. It's not hard, right? And I think he's infringes on others and all that. And every time I do that, I lose at least one. And probably right now, talking about it, I'll probably lose one. It's fine. I'm not going to censor anything. And I don't care. If you like Trump, that's fine. I just don't. And it's not that I love Joe Biden. No, he doesn't seem evil to me. And I don't know. And I don't know. I don't know why it has to be a crusty old white guy every time anyways. Anyways, yeah. So I'm pretty sure that's why I lost that Stradler. And that's okay. And I'll probably lose one or two more from that little rant right there. Fucking cancel me. Cancel me now. No. Okay. Now, the Patron bartender at Ocean's 11, known for, God, I don't even want to know how many years, she was a Patron. And then she couldn't get her card. She was one of the declined cards and couldn't get it fixed. Well, she just came in and she just figured out maybe a different card or something, and she upgraded to Straddle. So that's getting the 4 points back that we lost when the person was probably offended by me saying I thought someone was a bad person, a nit. And so thank you, Patron bartender. And told her she doesn't need to. She gives me free beers all the time at Ocean's 11. Don't tell management. And anyways, I appreciate it. And then we got a rush of new Patrons. And I don't know where it came from, or I don't know if someone's behind it or whatever, but I felt it. Gurple, Lolly, Governator, Walker Gibson, Kyle A, Pink Dan, Melissa Roberts, Coochie Coot, Renato, Aaron, all signed up. Holy shit. That's 4 points apiece. That's 9 people I just listed off. That's 36 points on the board, as long as they don't cancel or get declined before, you know, the end of the year. So thank you very much to all those new people. I'll say their names one more time. Gurple, Lolly, Governator, Walker Gibson, Kyle A, Pink Dan, Melissa Roberts, Coochie Coot, Renato, and Aaron. That's awesome. And then a Stradler deleted, but they said financial reasons. And so very understandable. And then Tony G from the UK signed up. And that's 4 more points. And then Greasy Fingertips. Greasy Fingertips came in at $9 a month. And you can select your own price. It's good to start at a tier. That way you'll get the RSS feed and then you can adjust to whatever you want. Came in at $9 a month, 4 more points. And then 2 other people who are on the decline list fixed their cards. And we got 48 points on this line this week. And I don't know what part of it had to do with the main event, or just maybe, I'm not sure what it was. Or maybe someone's out there marketing for me and I don't know about it and I greatly appreciate it. I don't know, but I'll fucking take it. It looked like we weren't going to have a season 5 of Sessions, and I really want to have one. And especially since I didn't win the main event, and my financial problems didn't go away at all. I don't know if I profited in the main event, because I only had 25% of myself and I gave 4% away, and I had pieces of other people in swaps and they're all bustos. And they didn't cash because they're jerks and they suck. No, they just, you know, they just ran bad. Okay, anyways, pretty strong, 48 points. And we only have 44 declined cards. That's still a lot of declined cards. But we have 327 active Patrons at this point, and that's what the Nevada Gaming Commission cares about. And all right, now the score, the fifth and final line. Then we're all going to fist bump and say, hey, good run, man. And I'll say, yeah, you know, it could have been better. What if I won with sixes against ace? Hey, what if my flush held against two pair the night before? What if, whatever, what if I slept? And then we'll do that as soon as we're done here. And that'll be soon. And then we'll say goodbye until next week, which will also be public because I'll be at the Hustler and they sponsor me and they're sick. They're not only is it, it's mutual benefit. They said, well, you know, no, you don't really have to do, you don't have to do ads. I said, I'll just make my drops public when I'm up here and it'll just be organic. I'll be promoting you by just talking about the story, and you guys have all treated me well, and I'll tell the people that. And it worked out great. I think it's helping them and it helps me and it's building and it's cool. And anyways, that's what you'll hear next week. And that's where I am. I'm only on a week lag here. You know, talking about last week, and I'm up here, and you'll hear about this week, next week. That's how that goes. But anyways, what? The fifth and final score. And we need to get to, it's countdown to 2022. We need to get to 2022 points by December 19th of this year for Sessions to live on. And this one says 1865 of 1820. So we're back in the black. We were in the red last week and the week before. This huge push of Patrons really helped, and that's the most important one to me. That's my salary, and we're back ahead of pace to keep the podcast going for another year. And so making it to day 4 probably was big, Not only did I get some new listeners and new patrons, but I got a lot of hours in, right? I played 33 hours in this tournament, and I got 3 wins and 1 loss, and now I need to finish strong in the last, 5 weeks in cash. I do, if possible. I need to put in hours if I can, and I'll be honest, I don't have much left inside. I need the year to end, and I need to regroup and not tell my life story anymore, and that'll give me some, that'll be a breath of fresh air. It's done wonders for me, and hopefully it's done some good things for other people. I'm just less fucked up than I used to be. I'm still fucked up. I got issues like anyone else, but I'm a lot less fucked up than I used to be. And maybe that's why I don't like the swings as much in poker. I used to like them. And I don't need it as much anymore. I'd rather talk about it than play it, but I am going to rally for one last run, and then I'll just, you know, play recreationally like Tyler Cornell does. He plays for fun now. Jesus Christ, he's a lot younger than I am. Anyways, yep. If you want to remember, you can put points on the board by becoming a patron, or you can't win sessions for me or put in hours for me, but you can buy stuff from PokerX. And if you buy something you just go to PokerX, go to Team PokerX, you click on DGAF, and if you buy something from the story, where it says it's just the story, you get 2 points for that. And people said they love that design. I don't think anyone's bought anything from it. Whoever buys something from it, I will kiss them. Man or woman, open mouth, closed, whatever you prefer. I will kiss you if you buy something with It's Just a Story on it. Because you get 2 points. We get 2 points. We need 2 points. We need some points on this fucking board. Let's go. I want to have a season 5. I'm going to rise again next year. And when I play the main event next year, it'll be different. I won't be on fumes. I will, when it's time to downshift, I'll downshift. And when it's time to put my foot down, I will. And it'll be the next main event, you know, unless I run bad, it'll be fucking sick. And anyways, I'll be playing bigger games. This is happening no matter what. But if we get to 2022 points, it'll be documented. And I want it to be documented. And anyways, I want to thank everyone who has put points on this board this year in this Make or Break season 4. And I want to give a very special thanks, of course, to all the patrons for their continued support. You all are something. And I'll see everyone, patrons, non-patrons, new listeners, whatever, on Monday for week 46 of 50, titled Back in L.A. And last thing, whether you're a patron or not, and then we'll do our fist bumps and say, hey, good run, man. Yeah, you know, it's poker. We'll do that in a second. But I want to say this last thing, whether you're a patron or not, whether you typically listen to just the public drops or the private and the public, well, I highly recommend you fill your Wednesday podcast slot with my favorite podcast, Raising the Nuts. Okay, now let's do the fist bumps and good games. All right, thank you. I hope you enjoyed this drop of sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. And that's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know, we're trying. Larger than life. I guess I'm gonna need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player. Cause otherwise.